Yeah, I think most people would totally skip to, I'm going to build a website, I'm going to film a promo video, and I'm going to do all these things. Those aren't bad things, but in terms of actually finding your first customer and just building your service, those really aren't necessary. So let's think of what's the, like David said, what's the MVP approach here?
Welcome to the Boss Club Podcast, a show dedicated to helping you grow your business faster, more profitably, and with fewer mistakes. And now your hosts, David Grubbs and Charlie Gassmeyer.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Boss Club Podcast. I'm David Grubbs, and I'm joined here by my co-host, Charlie Gassmeyer. We're really excited about a new series we're going to be starting where we actually deconstruct the business ideas that you submit to us. So if you've got a great idea you want us to analyze, you can go ahead and submit that to us at podcast@bossclub.com, and we'll take a look, and maybe we feature that on one of our future episodes. But today, what we're going to do is we're going to review a RV and camper cleaning business. And so we're going to take this hypothetical business, we're going to run it through our checklist of whether or not we should actually start this business or not, kind of the go, no-go decision. And then after that, we're going to go through and take it step by step on how we would get this business launched, how we would get our first few customers, and then how we would scale it.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for this series. We have business ideas all the time that we're maybe even interested in pursuing ourselves, but we're trying to be really disciplined to not just go start a ton of things. But I think it is a really healthy exercise to think through how you would go pursue a certain business. I think it's a really, really healthy exercise, and one that I think if we can do live here on the podcast, I think hopefully it'll help our listeners just kind of go through those mental reps of thinking how they would start a business. Is this a good idea? How would you go about doing it? So to kind of jump into our RV and camper cleaning service, first, let's go through the checklist that we outlined in episode number 4. If you haven't listened to episode number 4, I highly recommend go ahead and hit the pause button, go back and listen to that episode where we walk through the checklist of evaluating whether or not a business idea is a good business idea for one of your first or early businesses. And so let's walk briefly through this checklist and then spend most of our time on how we'd actually go do this. So one of the first things on the list is thinking through the margins, the profit margins of this business. From a high level, an RV and camper cleaning service, if you're, you know, washing the outside and kind of vacuuming the interior and dusting the interior and getting the mud out and things, really, we're talking about a service business here, and service businesses have very, very strong margins. Even if you're hiring people to go perform the service, you can just make sure you're charging enough that really covers your labor in doing so. So even from a high level, we could get into more detail here, but from a high level, this business will have good margins. From a business model perspective, this is number 2. Basically, how do you make money? How many steps are involved before you actually get paid in the business? What we call the alphabet test. This has a very short alphabet test, meaning that really all that's involved here is finding your customer, finding people with RVs. That's step A in the alphabet test, and then providing the cleaning services. That's step B, and then we get paid. So in this example, A plus B equals money. So this passes the short alphabet test towards making money. So good, strong business model. The next step is competition. And we, as we discussed in episode number 4, we really take this from a different perspective to where we're not afraid if there's competition. We're actually encouraged if there's competition. So are there other people out there that have demonstrated that this business is viable, that this business is profitable, that this business is scalable? And if you go search online, you can find tons of RV and camper cleaning services. So we know there's good competition that validates the demand. So this is a green light on competition. The next item is complexity. So how many steps are involved in actually providing this service? The more complex a business it is, the more opportunities you have for something to break or things to cause friction that really slow you down and just cause problems. Well, this thing is pretty easy. Even if you're outsourcing it and hiring other people to go perform the cleaning services, you're really just cleaning. I mean, there's a lot of labor involved in the cleaning, but the technicality of it is not bad. So this is not a super complex business. So it's a green light there. In terms of customers, you know, do we have a confidence level that we could go find customers? And not only do we kind of know who they are demographically, but what's their common denominator and how do we go find many of them? Well, as you can guess, and as is painfully obvious, our target market is people with RVs and with campers. So even if it's as simple as driving around the neighborhood and figuring out who has a camper outside their house, or if it's as, you know, robust and large scale as, you know, finding the associations of people who like to go travel in their campers and their RVs, we know that we can find these people. There are many, many different ways to find our target customer. So it passes the customer test. And then lastly here, just kind of closing out this kind of go, no go decision here, is thinking through the time and money required to launch it and to grow the business. So if we're really just, you know, providing some cleaning, some washing, some vacuuming and things, there might be some small equipment involved. If you're going to power wash it or something, or even if you're going to wash it by hand, there's just not a lot of upfront costs. We don't have to go invest in a ton of inventory or anything. So the startup costs are relatively small here. And then even in scaling the business, it's similar. There's not going to be a ton of stuff involved in actually paying this upfront. You know, even if you are hiring people to go perform the services of cleaning RVs, you're really not going to have to pay them until you actually perform the service. So you get paid and then you paid your employees. So I think there are a lot of reasons here why this is pretty economically viable and economically scalable. So all of those reasons, this passes the test that we outlined in episode 4. So let's kind of transition here. Assuming that all these are green lights, how would we actually go do it? This is where the time is most valuably spent, I think. So David, how would you start this business?
So the first step in launching this business idea is actually coming up with an MVP, or a minimal viable product, which is basically the first version or the very basic version of the RV and camper cleaning service that we want to go live with, the first thing we want to launch. And the way we go about doing this is really just doing competitive research. So again, we really lean into business ideas that have healthy, growing competition. And this is one of the reasons, is the first step is putting together an MVP. What you want to do is go look at that competition and do some research. So what kind of cleaning packages do they offer? Are they doing interior and exterior cleaning? How are they doing that? Are they offering any additional auxiliary services that might go along with it? You know, take a look at these packages and maybe you put together one, two, or three different packages based on that research. And then you can also see what these competitors are charging. So what is the market willing to pay as a result of whatever they're charging? And you can come up with some prices for this initial packages that you put together. And so this initial research is super informative and helps you kind of put the initial, you know, foundation of your business together. And once you've done that, then you can kind of do some very basic marketing things. So you're going to need to pick a business name and you're probably going to need to create a flyer. So these are the two very basic things you need to do. What's my product or service? How does that defined? What's it called and how do I charge for it? And how am I going to market it initially?
Yeah, I think most people would totally skip to, I'm going to build a website, I'm going to film a promo video, and I'm going to do all these things. Those aren't bad things, but in terms of actually finding your first customer and just building your service, those really aren't necessary. So let's think of what's the, like David said, what's the MVP approach here that can simplify this? And then I think the next step, once you have your MVP put together, is finding your first customer. Let's just prove that at least one person on earth would pay us to do that. And if we can find one, let's assume we can find many others. And so I would do whatever you have to do to go find your first customer. And as David already mentioned, if you print out a flyer, you know, you could put your different packages. You might even just start with one package. So instead of having like the interior and then the interior plus the exterior and then the wax package, like just start with one and you could say, hey, I will come do your exterior. Or I will come vacuum your RV. Just make it as simple as you can. And then I would literally just drive around the surrounding neighborhoods. And on that flyer, I would say that you're local. I'd say you're a student. It's your first business. You love RVs. You want to be around RVs. Here's the package. Here's how to contact you. Here's the call to action. And I'd go put flyers under the windshield wipers of all of the trucks that have RVs behind them. And I would just drive around until I found about 50 of them. And I would do that. And then I'd wait for the phone to ring. And so really, you're just trying to find customer number one. And the goal here is to validate that someone will pay you for it. But then if you can go then perform the service, don't just think of it as, oh, this is great. Someone paid me. You need to be super intentional with customer number one and really try to get pictures of what you're doing. I mean, ask for permission as you're doing this, but ask for, you know, before and after pictures, get some pictures of you actually cleaning the RV. You're basically trying to say, okay, I want to then prove to a bunch of other people that I have done this before. I know what I'm doing and someone else has paid me for it. So you're trying to get the content and the social proof, you know, through photos and maybe through a testimonial that you can then take to other people to try to get more customers. And then Also, I would really just try to document all the steps involved with what it took to go clean that RV for a number of reasons that you could use later to train other people to do it, or at least to better document your expenses and make sure it's accurate and you know how much time it's going to take you to do this versus what your assumptions were. Basically, like, let's just get it to doing one customer and then you have a full-fledged business on your hands. And like I said, if you can get one person to pay you and outline that process, now it's time to go find not just 10, not just 20, maybe 100 or hundreds of people to start paying you for the same service. So this is where the fun gets in actually scaling it. And just one other thing I'd add here, it's kind of a housekeeping reminder. In this series, you know, we're kind of assuming that, yes, you'll be keeping track of your expenses. You'll be keeping track of your accounting. You know, be thinking about the legal and tax implications. All of that is very important. So we're not overlooking that at all. But we do teach that in our course. So if you're already in our course, there's a module on tax and legal considerations. So go ahead and go over to that and make sure you're kind of briefing yourself on this. And if you're not in our course, well, you can learn more about those over at bossclub.com. We've got full entrepreneurship courses that include things like this. So we're assuming that you're going to be taking care of the housekeeping of the business, the accounting, the legal, the taxation and stuff, but that's already in our course. So we're going to skip over it for the purposes of this podcast. But like I said, now it's time to actually go grow our RV business past customer number one.
So just to recap, step one is to create an MVP. Step two is to find your first customer. And then step three is to scale it. So in order to find not just one customer, but tens or hundreds of customers. And so this is an area that we really want to spend some time because it can really make or break your business. Sales are the lifeblood of any business. And so doing this well is so, so key to make sure the business survives long term. And so what we recommend doing is, you know, in the first step, Charlie recommend going and actually driving through your neighborhood or surrounding neighborhoods and finding RVs and putting flyers on, you know, the RVs that you find. And that may be a great way to find customers. And so if that worked for you, then we just recommend scaling that up. So do it bigger, do it better. And so instead of just doing your neighborhood or surrounding neighborhoods, you can actually systematically go through and do, you know, 15, 20, 30 neighborhoods. So go do a 5 or 10 or 20 mile radius around your house and actually just go flyer all those RVs. And you can use Google Maps with satellite view to actually keep track of the roads that you've checked by highlighting those, you know, printing off some maps and highlighting and keeping track of where you've gone. And if that works out and that's a great way for you to effectively find new customers, great. That's awesome. Just scale it up, do more of it. Another idea would be to actually recruit your friends in helping you to find customers. So as they're driving around, you can pay them a dollar for every RV they find and put a flyer on the window of. And so it's a great way for you not only to have to drive around all the time, but you're recruiting an army of other people to help you find customers as a result of that. And so that can be a really cost-effective way for you to find RVs in the area. Simply find some friends that would be willing to help throw flyers on the windows. So that's another thing you might consider. And if we were going to be doing this, we would probably give that a shot. The next thing you can do is, I know at least my grandparents spent a lot of time in their RV and they traveled around the States a lot. But what was interesting is they did this in partnership or as part of a club or association. And so they were a part of two different camping clubs that had 40, 50 members, and they would always travel together. And so this was a potential way for you to actually find more customers. You could simply Google all the camping clubs or associations in your area. And most of the times they have their officers' contact information listed on their website. So their president, their treasury, a treasurer, their vice president, so forth. And so you can email those folks and offer some sort of deal or promotion to the members of their club where they get some sort of discount for using your camper or RV cleaning service. And what's great about this is once they go on a trip together, when they come back, maybe you've got a slew of new clients looking for their RV or camper to be cleaned on a regular basis. So that could be another source of new customers for you. And the last idea I've got for you here is to find local campsites or KOAs or other places where people camp. And so you might be able to go to them and say, look, for every new customer you send me, I'll give you a percentage of how much money I make. And so it's a new revenue source for them. Or maybe it's a new service that they can offer to their clients. And so that might be another way that you can grow the business. And so these are things that you can simply test out, see if they work. If they do, then you can scale that up and do more of it. So those are some initial ideas I had, but Charlie, what have you got? What ideas do you have for scaling this RV and camper cleaning business?
Yeah, so I think the first place my mind goes is kind of doing a lot of the same things that you just mentioned, but maybe just in different ways. So, for example, if you're going to try to go get partnerships or, you know, kind of revenue sharing opportunities with campsites and KOAs and things, what other kind of similar organizations or businesses could you do that same arrangement with? So my mind goes to storage units. So there's some storage units that also have parts of their storage facility segmented for boats and RVs and large vehicles and things, to where people will keep their RV there instead of like in their driveway or something when it's not being used. So I would try to go kind of ink the same deal with them and say, hey, you know, if you'll promote me to all of your tenants, you know, I'll give you a revenue share back to the storage facility or something, which unlocks a new revenue channel for them. But more so than just money, I would really try to lock into, I think the best partnerships are ones that you can solve your partner's problem, not just make them money, but you can actually solve a problem for them in a way that they can't solve themselves or couldn't easily solve themselves. So for example, in the storage unit, example, well, what's their biggest pain point? What are they most worried about? Well, they're worried about having occupancy rates. They want to have every storage unit filled and they want long tenure. They want people to stay and pay them month over month. So if you can help kind of solve that for them, to where, you know, all the people that keep their RVs there are so happy because they get a deeply discounted cleaning service anytime they come back for a trip, and they just love, you know, being able to stay there because their RV is always clean, then that helps solve their problem. And so you got to think about what are those angles to where they're going to be more willing to promote your services to their own customers, more so than just the money they might get from it. Does it solve some other problems for them? So that's something I would consider. Kind of changing gears here, if you wanted to grow this through social media, you know, one of the challenges is that you are providing local services. So if you go grow a social media following, this could be a worldwide following. But if you only perform services in Dallas, Texas, well, then only a tiny percentage of your customers are actually going to be in Dallas, Texas. So I would think twice about this. But if you did want to go down the social media route, I would really, really focus on before and after pictures. So I'd start an Instagram profile, and I would be posting every job I ever did. I'd post before and after pictures. But then in between jobs, I would also be posting about the coolest RVs in the world or the most interesting RVs in the world. Just RV content, RV content, RV content. Find ways to attract people that like that type of content. And a portion of them will be in Dallas or so, or they might know people that are in Dallas. So this is going to take longer to build because, like I said, you're going to be attracting people from all over the place, and only a portion of them are going to be in your locality. But if you're going to go the social route, that's the type of content that I would be putting out. And then one more thing on here is that as you're doing these different strategies, you will be getting customers. I think all of this would work. And so a huge part of my marketing focus here would be towards retaining your existing customers, because I think even if you had a collection of, say, 20 customers or 50 customers, and each of them take, I don't know, 4 or 5 RV trips per year. I don't know how often they do it, but it's probably more often than that. But it's probably at least that. That's hundreds of trips per year that your clients are collectively taking, which means they need to be cleaned after those trips. So you kind of back into the math here and you say, okay, well, if collectively my customers take 120 trips total of course of the year, that's 10 jobs a month if they always hire me to clean their RV. So what could I do to be the person that they always come back to clean their RV? And then all of a sudden I've got 10 jobs a month, and then it takes a lot of the pressure off of some of these new marketing channels working, because I've already got 10 jobs a month that make me hundreds or thousands of dollars. And that's a really, really good recurring business. So definitely don't take focus off of really retaining your existing customers and maximizing their experience, because you might not actually have to go get that many customers before you have a stable, really, really profitable business on your hands. So those are some of the initial things that I would try. I'm actually getting pretty excited about this, because I think you could have a pretty lucrative business. So I'm going to stop talking before I leave to go start an RV cleaning business, and we'll leave it at that. But I think there's tons of marketing opportunities for this cool service business.
I mean, I'm getting pretty excited about this too, as Charlie's talking. There's a lot of ideas that we have here that I think could actually grow this business, and I think it'd be pretty profitable. But before we do that, I want to kind of recap what we've discussed here so far. So first thing that we would do is we'd create an MVP. So what's the basic version of the service? The second thing is find your first customer. The third thing is scale it. So how do you go find not one customer, but 10 or hundreds of customers? And this fourth thing is really, really key if you want to run the business long term and not run yourself into the ground because you're so exhausted. I was trying to do everything in the business yourself. And that is to create processes and automate it. And so what do I mean by that? Well, you're going to be capped by your own time, especially in a service business. This is so important, is that you can't wash every RV that comes your way. And so eventually you're going to have to create a process that you can hand off and train someone else to do for you. And so someone else is going to be eventually cleaning those RVs on your behalf. And so you're going to hire staff to do that so that you can clean more and more RVs. And as you grow the business, you're going to be able to have more and more staff to help you do that. In addition to that is you can create processes around acquiring new customers. So just like you go hire your friends to go drive around to put flyers on the windshields of all the RVs they see for a dollar, you can automate all the other processes as well. So you can hire someone that goes through and contacts all the KOAs or campsites in your area. You can hire someone that goes and actually contacts all the storage unit places in the area. And you probably don't need a bunch of people to do this. One would probably suffice in the beginning. But this is a process that you can automate. So not only is the actual performing of the service done, so the RVs are getting cleaned by somebody else, but also the sales part of the business is also taken care of. So you've got this whole engine running where you've got two cylinders, you know, the performance of the service and the sales going at once, and you're not having to do that yourself. And so as businesses grow, you're kind of going through this awkward teenage phase where you're transitioning out of working for the business and moving towards working on the business. And so this is a really important transition to make as you grow. And so that's the fourth step we would perform here, is to help you in that transition, is to create processes, basically define what has to be done, and then hire people to go do those. And so if you can create a process, it's like turning a crank. It's really easy. It's defined. Do this. Step one, step two, step three, step four. And if you can train someone to do that, it's something that you can hand off to others. And then you can go focus on growing the business in a different way. Maybe you launch a new product line, you go find a different way to grow, you launch a new city. You know, it frees you up to go do something else that will have a profound impact on the business. So Charlie, do you have any closing thoughts as we kind of wrap up here talking about our RV and camper cleaning business?
Well, I do have a closing thought for you and for me, is to remind us that we are not actually doing this business. I think we both got pretty jazzed about it when we thought about delighting our customers and doing different stuff, but we will not be doing this business. But I hope that some of our listeners might do it. So the closing thought to all the listeners would be, you know, I think that this is the model, that I think this is the model to approach your business in, that we've described here, doing an MVP, finding your first customer, and then spending the bulk of your time finding more customers, and then spending some time figuring out how to automate it. If you can do that, I think you'll have a worthwhile business on your hands, and one that's scalable and profitable. So if you would like to hear us deconstruct any of your business ideas, kind of talk through it in a similar fashion, give you some ideas of how we might go about growing it, send us that. And you can send it to podcast@bossclub.com, and we might feature you here on the show. But I'm really looking forward to this series. I think it's valuable for us. Hopefully it's valuable for you, our listeners. And we're so grateful that you spent some time with us today. So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you guys in next week's episode.